Right now, A Mighty Heart. That's the name of the memoir and now the film that tells the story of Daniel Pearl through the eyes of his wife, Marianne. You'll remember that Pearl was the Wall Street Journal reporter abducted in Pakistan in 2002 and murdered by a terrorist group. News of his death and the brutal video released afterward shocked Americans and much of the rest of the world. The film version covers the period of weeks between his disappearance and his death. Here, Angelina Jolie, in the role of Marianne Pearl, narrates the events that led up to her husband's abduction.
The day after 9/11, Danny and I flew to Pakistan. He was the South Asia bureau chief for the Wall Street Journal, and I was working for French public radio.
Sorry, I'm so late. I'll call you.
Leave your phone off.
Okay. By the end of January, we were ready to go home. But there was one more interview that Danny wanted.
Angelina Jolie as Marianne Pearl in the film version of A Mighty Heart. We'll talk with the film's director, Michael Winterbottom, in just a moment. If you have questions about the making of A Mighty Heart, the decisions that have to be made when telling a story like this or about the Pearls themselves, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can email us, talk@npr.org. And, of course, we'd welcome calls about any other of Michael Winterbottom's films. Michael Winterbottom directed A Mighty Heart. His previous movies include Road to Guantanamo and 24-Hour Party People. He joins us today from the studios of member station WBUR in Boston. And nice to have you on Talk of the Nation. And hello, Michael Winterbottom. Hello. Are you there?
Hear me?
Ah, there we are. Yeah, we were just having a little technical problem there. We'd rolled you off in the technical jargon. Nice to have you on the program. Your previous films address subjects that range from Manchester dance music of the 1970s to the war in Bosnia. What attracted you to this story?
Well, I read Marianne's book a few years ago, and I thought it was a very powerful book, very powerful story. And about a year ago, I was asked if I wanted to make the film. Brad Pitt and Dee Dee Gardner from Plan B, who had the rights to the film, sort of offered it me. So having read the story, I met Marianne, and she's a very kind of impressive woman. So it was kind of easy decision to make.
For the most part, you decided to tell the story through her eyes, through her experiences.
Yeah, we tried to stick pretty close to the book, really. I mean, in the book, Marianne really tells what happened to her from the day of Danny's kidnap to the day she left Pakistan. And obviously can move backwards and forwards and give a little bit of background, a little bit of context of the search going on for Danny. But it really is kind of Marianne's story rather than the story of Danny.
Mm-hmm. And, for example, we never see him in captivity except for the pictures that are posted on the website.
Exactly. I mean, you know, this is taken from Marianne's book, which is her account of her experience. I also then met all the other people who were with Marianne in the house, so we had their version of events as well.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it sort of takes place in one house in Karachi, where she spends about a month. And it's as much really about the story of the group of people in the house coming together from all sorts of backgrounds, getting to know each other, becoming very close, and working as a team. That's really this kind of heart of the film, the heart of the story.
This investigation, also her personal experience, her courage and her frustration and her anger.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think, you know, obviously Marianne was in this terrible situation, and, you know, I think her response to that is, you know, what's incredibly powerful. You know, she's someone who kind of refused on one hand to be the sort of weeping wife at home and at the same time also refused to kind of hate the kidnappers. I think she felt having those kind of emotions would be being defeated by the kidnappers, and she wanted to find a kind of more positive, a kind of stronger response to them.
Mm-hmm. One of the fascinating aspects of the film is you go into considerable detail about her decision to become a public voice, to go out and speak about this. She has to be talked into it.
Yeah, I think she didn't want to feel that she was being sort of used as a kind of element in a sort of soap opera of, you know, to see the kind of weeping wife and become kind of part of a media game of just sort of a kind of alternative to a soap opera. But at the same time, you know, she was persuaded because it sort of was hoped that it might do some good. Yeah, but I think her response, I guess, since the events has also been the same. You know, her book is a very powerful book, and it's not a book about how much she hates Muslims or Muslim countries, or how much even she hates the kidnappers. It's kind of, it's trying to find a kind of more positive message.
Yeah, there's a wonderful scene at the end of her experience where she's asked about that sort of question, and she said, "Look, there are probably in the period since Danny's been taken, 10 people who've died in terrorist attacks, and the others have all been Pakistani. So no, I and the Pakistanis share the same experience."
Exactly, and I think, you know, the end of the book and the end of the film is about Adam, who's Danny and Marianne's son, you know, and his birth, and the fact, obviously, you know, now 5 years later, that, you know, their lives carry on. And I think Marianne's kind of very keen to look kind of to the future and to sort of find some way of of avoiding the extremes on both sides, avoiding the kind of violent reaction and the hatred on both sides.
There's an important decision that you had to make, as do we see Daniel Pearl's murder? And you made the decision not to show us that.
That was almost not a decision. That was certainly not a difficult decision. I mean, in the book, Marianne points out that she never saw the tape, that she wouldn't want to see the tape. She says that in the film as well. And of course, it would be kind of completely perverse to try and show any version of that. I mean, as I say, we tried not to speculate really about what was happening on the side of the kidnappers. Mm-hmm. Don't really spend that much time with the people who kidnapped him. Don't speculate on how he was being held or whatever. Because we had so many first-hand accounts of what was happening in the house, we try and stick to the facts that we know, really, and trying to just tell the story from the point of view of Marianne and tell the story on, you know, the basis of what we know is correct.
The most shocking moment in the film is Angelina Jolie's scream when she finally learns irretrievably that her husband is dead, and she runs off and puts herself alone in a room and screams. How did that happen? Did you work with her? Did she come up with that herself? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, really, everything in the film is from the first-hand account. So obviously, first of all, talking to Marianne about her recollections of what happened and from the descriptions in the book. But also, you know, I met all the other people in the house who were with her, and they all said she'd been incredibly strong through the whole period, you know, really not showing her emotions, of kind of supporting the other people in the team, of trying to do anything that was possible to kind of help the search for Danny. And then suddenly, you know, when they finally had to break the news to her that they knew he was dead, there was this incredible outpouring of grief. And really, we had descriptions which are pretty much how it is in the film, of, you know, the fact that's what she did. She went to a room, and there was this incredible outpouring of grief, and they were all obviously very profoundly moved by it. So Angelina knew that. You know, Angelina knew Marianne before the film was made. When I first met Angelina, it was with Marianne, and they were already friends. So obviously, they'd had a lot of conversations about it. So from my point of view, when we're filming it, we simply set up the sort of sequence of events as we've been told it happened, and the way the news was broken to us, we've been told it was happened, and then we just we just filmed Angelina. Really, we just followed Angelina and filmed her, and she sort of really straight away gave them, you know, the kind of performance that you see in the film. And I think from the very beginning, Angelina had been very keen to make sure that she did justice to Marianne, because they are friends and because they trust each other. And Marianne wanted Angelina to play the part in the film. I think that was obviously something that she all the way through the film, she was trying very much to do what she felt Marianne would have done.
We're talking with Michael Winterbottom, the director of A Mighty Heart, most recently. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's talk with Roger. Roger with us from San Francisco.
Yes, thank you.
Sure.
You know, I believe that the track she's taken is probably the most powerful track of all. When you don't respond to hatred with hatred, you deprive it of its food. Evil can exist with goodness. And by speaking out in a peaceful manner in what the tragedy befell her, she has probably done more to attack the core of that evil than any military action could do. And I want to thank this producer, this director, for bringing this out. I'm looking forward to seeing this picture.
Thanks very much for the call, Roger. It's what he was talking about is very much, I think, what was in Marianne Pearl's mind.
I agree. I think, you know, extremists on both sides kind of want to provoke the other side into more and more violent reaction. And, you know, there's been a huge amount of violence since Daniel's kidnapping and death. There's been a huge amount of violence since 9/11. Hundreds of thousands of people have died since in the various responses to violence on each side. And certainly, you know, the idea in the film, and Marianne's idea, I think, very much with her book, was to try and find an alternative way, that, you know, that there is no way forward if simply every time there's violence on one side, you respond with even greater violence on another side.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can talk with, this is Drew. Drew with us from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hi, Neil. I just wanted to ask Mr. Winterbottom, considering the depth and the breadth of his work over the last couple of years, he's tackled Thomas Hardy and he's tackled the Manchester music scene. And a couple of years ago, he was even accused of being a pornographer when he made that film, Nine Songs. And I wanted to ask him, considering some of the controversies that he's encountered in the past, is this just an attempt to court controversy, or how does he feel this film fits in with the breadth and width of body of his work, and I wanted to ask him really briefly what was the name of the cinematographer that he's working with now, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, Drew, thanks very much.
Thank you.
I don't think this film will be seen as controversial. I mean, it tells very much the kind of known facts of the story. And as I say, I talked to everyone who was in the house with Marianne. So we had a huge amount of information about individual recollections of events and tried to make sure that, you know, if there were any differences, that we sort of resolved them. So I think, you know, this is a very human story. It's about a woman who's placed in an incredibly stressful situation, incredibly difficult situation. And, you know, a situation which ends badly, her husband's killed, and yet despite that, she's able to somehow survive and find some sort of response to that. And, you know, talking to all the other people in the house with her, one thing they all kind of stressed was that they all felt terrible when they realised that Danny was dead. They all felt that in some way they failed her. And I think they would have kind of kept that with them for the rest of their lives, except that Marianne kind of, you know, said to them, you can't feel bad, you mustn't feel bad, you did your best, you know, that she was proud of what they'd done and that they had to feel proud of what they'd done themselves. And I think that was something that came through very strongly when I met the people, and I hope that's something that comes through in the film. I don't think this film would be controversial, you know. I mean, you know, the last film I made was about people who were, in a sense, caught up on the other side of the argument, people who were caught up on the three British guys who were in Guantanamo, and I think... You know, I think what we showed in that film also was actually something that simply is what everyone knows happens. But because that was perhaps seen as the kind of good guys doing bad things, that was more controversial. In this case, I don't think people will find much controversy in the film.
Michael Winterbottom, the director of A Mighty Heart. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I neglected to follow up. You wanted the name of your cinematographer.
Yeah, Marcel Ziskind. He's a Danish guy, very young Danish guy. He's done the last 5 or 6 films and a very good cinematographer.
I did want to ask you, we do leave the house to pursue the investigation as they follow up leads to
look for
Daniel Pearl. And there are a couple of scenes of interrogations. Were those a little underplayed? Get the impression that torture is not beyond the realms of possibility in Pakistan.
That's right, you know, and, you know, we tried to show pretty much what happened. There was a particular night when three of the people involved in the kidnapping were arrested, and there was, you know, I think Captain, who was leading the investigation on the Pakistani side, felt, you know, it was very important that this was the night they might have the chance of finding Daniel, and that they had to find him that night, or else once the kidnappers knew that they'd already picked up some of their colleagues, that would be a kind of a bad thing from Daniel's point of view. So... Mm-hmm. They managed to kind of pick up three people in short order. And, yeah, I think, you know, as we show in the film, that techniques were used that would be counted as torture, I think. You know, it's a difficult thing when you're making a film like this. And, you know, I know Captain and I think...
The head Pakistani investigator, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and he was clearly doing what he felt was best at the time. But I think, you know, if we're making a film about a journalist, about the honesty of journalism and about Marianne and Danny both being people of integrity, you have to try and show... what happened. There's no good trying to gloss over facts, and we tried not to do that in the film. I don't think they're that underplayed. I think they're pretty much versions of what happened, and clearly it's a difficult area, but I think what I felt was that I had to try and show as accurate as possible what happened, and it's important not to kind of feel that, well, good guys do good things and bad guys do bad things. If you're on the right side of the argument, you behave well, and if you're on the wrong side of the argument, you behave badly. One of the things that, you know, you kind of realize very quickly when you spend any time in a place like Pakistan, and, you know, and it's going on all over the world post 9/11 in these kind of situations, that unfortunately people on both sides are doing a lot of very bad things.
I also wanted to ask you about some of your technique. Going back to, I think some people might remember the Sarajevo movie. Similarly, in this, you use documentary footage of Secretary of State Colin Powell and the President and General Musharraf addressing the situation involving Danny's situation, and indeed the media is almost a character in itself.
I think, you know, obviously Danny and Marianne both being journalists, that was, and being there as journalists, that was bound to be the case. You know, Danny was there to try and show people back in America what was going on. I think, you know, the reason in a way was putting himself into situations which had potential risk was because he wanted to try and talk to the people who were involved in the jihadi groups and try and report back honestly to people in America. So that, you know, that in that sense, journalism as the kind of the honest, brave side of journalism was bound to be part of the story. Mm-hmm. Equally, obviously, you have this kind of chorus of press outside trying to, you know, I think perhaps from Marianne's point of view, she felt that they were trying to turn it into a soap opera and you use it simply as a sort of a kind of, you know, another kind of human tragedy, a real tragedy that could be used to kind of boost ratings back at home. So you have both aspects of journalism, really, the very honorable and the slightly less honorable.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we could squeeze in one last caller. Nathan. Nathan with us from San Jose, California.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I look forward to seeing this film. I have one quick question. Why was the movie shot in India instead of Pakistan?
Parts of it were shot in Pakistan, but Michael Winterbottom, you can speak to this much better.
Yeah,
than
we went first of all and spent about 5 days filming all the real locations in Pakistan, and then we tried to get permissions to film there, and we did. So actually, most of the exterior stuff, the vast majority of the exterior of the film, is in Pakistan. When you see Danny at the Hotel Akbar, where he meets the character Bashir at the beginning, that's the real Hotel Akbar. When you see the place where he's kidnapped from, that's the real place. When you see the block of flats where Farhad is arrested, that's a real block of flats Farhad arrested. So not only is it shot in Pakistan, actually pretty much shot in the real place where the story happened. But, you know, like 80% of the film or whatever is inside one house. It's where Marianne is inside the house for the duration of Danny's kidnap. And we just felt, talking to the authorities in Pakistan and talking to Angelina and so on, that it was kind of more sensible to not shoot that in Pakistan because of the high-profile nature of the story. Mm. So we then tried to find a house somewhere else in the world that we thought was as close as possible to the house, the real house in Karachi, and we ended up shooting that in Pune in India. But that's really the interiors. The exteriors are pretty much all in Pakistan.
Michael Winterbottom, thanks very much, and good luck with
the movie. Thanks very much.
Michael Winterbottom, director of A Mighty Heart, the story of reporter Daniel Pearl's abduction and murder. It opens in limited release on June 22nd. Michael Winterbottom directs the film and joined us today from the studios of member station WBUR in Boston. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.